Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and here we are for season 5. Today, we jump into an incredible topic. One of the most valuable supplements I have in my cabinet is nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is a cellular signaling molecule. And its value is that it controls nearly every aspect of our health. Without NO, our cells do not get the signal to do their job. They're deprived of oxygen and nutrients, and they will not function without those. Loss of NO happens over time naturally, so we want to figure out how to optimize as we age. I have the top scientist in the field, Dr. Nathan Bryan, who sits down with me live in Boston for an interview. Please check this out and their site, no2u.com. Link in the show notes, has a very generous code that they've given our audience, Beautifully Broken, and you'll get a hefty discount in the checkout if you choose to try this. I have to say I'm just going to throw it out there, male performance and functionality in the gym. This is safe, effective, and it's something I'm excited to share with all my friends. Stick around for the interview. Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes, because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start this episode, I need to mention how I've upgraded my oral health and my immune system response in the last 30 days. I started using a supplement called Silver Biotics, and they have a line of products that incorporate silver, a century-old technology, utilizing silver, which is a metal with the highest electrical conductivity on the planet, but they've biohacked silver and literally surrounded these particles with a molecular coating that allows it to work much, much better. And when I say much better, I mean they have 420 independent studies, 60 patents, and it is 4x more potent than any silver on the market. So this is going to work on things like bacteria, mold, fungus. My result, or my N=1, is my gum health. My gums are like pink and glowing. They look amazing. And then I've just had a better balance, or I would say an even immune response after about a month. I would have you have this in your cabinet. If there's one thing we overlook, it's oral and dental health. And every single tooth is wired to an organ in your body. It's one of the most overlooked things I see people jump around. And this is something that is cheap, it's affordable, and you can get a great discount. It's like 20% using the code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN. So go over to silverbiotics.com and check them out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. We're hanging out in Boston on the East Coast, and I'm here with Dr. Nathan Bryan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Freddie. Thank you.
I'm really excited to do this interview. We're going to jump in, because this is a rich topic, which we could do 4 hours on. And because of the window that we have, I want to get right into the meat of it. So why are you passionate about nitric oxide?
Well, I think, you know, science tells us it's probably one of the most important molecules produced in the human body. Mm. It's responsible for blood flow, circulation, oxygen delivery to every organ, tissue, and cell. So without nitric oxide, our body cannot and will not perform optimally or heal itself.
And with that, this molecule that is so important to longevity and performance is what I'm hearing. Why would a body be deficient in nitric oxide? And why should we need to supplement if it's something that's innately in the tissue? Yeah.
Well, it's similar to like growth hormone or any hormone, really. The older we get, the less we make. And there are a number of contributing factors. So we've discovered there's two ways the body makes nitric oxide. And until we discovered those, we couldn't figure out, you know, how to fix this or why they become deficient with age. But there are a number of things. There's diet, lifestyle, exposure to toxins that all lead to a decrease in nitric oxide production. Mm-hmm. So that's called endothelial dysfunction. And so it's oxidative stress, it's inflammation that shuts down that enzymatic production of NO. And then the other pathway is through diet, you know, primarily through green leafy vegetables. We We get an inorganic nitrate that the then body converts to nitric oxide. And then, you know, people who use mouthwash or antibiotics or antacids, all of those shut down nitric oxide production.
Interesting. So dietary is a driver of our NO production. Yep. What about something, and this is just came up as an intuitive hit, what about something like the carnivore diet that has no leafy green vegetables at all?
Well, then you're going to be deficient in inorganic nitrate, because 85% of the nitrate we get from our diet comes from green leafy vegetables. Mm. There's really very little in animal proteins or even any type of meat. So this is part of the nitrogen cycle in farming and agronomy. And you add nitrogen to the soil, the plants assimilate the nitrogen. Mm-hmm. They need that to assimilate other nutrients. So that's really 85% of the nitrate burden comes from green leafy vegetables.
Interesting. So if I'm looking at like this, I often like to frame things for people at home, like in a pyramid of health, like priority of operations, right? We can go quite a long time without food, less time with insufficient hydration or water, even less time with oxygen. Where does nitric oxide fall in that pyramid?
Well, I think it's right up there with oxygen, because without nitric oxide, we can't deliver oxygen to the cells. Mm. And that's become obvious in the past 2 years with COVID. So if people get a respiratory infection, you know, their blood oxygen saturation falls, you put them on 100% oxygen or mechanically ventilate them, and yet their blood oxygen saturation doesn't improve, because we haven't restored the functionality of nitric oxide to actually offload oxygen to the tissue.
Yeah.
So we've seen that in our COVID drug studies. We give nitric oxide, we see blood oxygen saturation go from 78 to 98 within 10 minutes, even breathing room air. So again, you can take whatever's important, whether it's supplements or whether it's breathing even normal air, but without nitric oxide, you can't deliver that to the tissues.
Yeah. Somewhere in the middle of the pandemic, you know, I reached out to, I think 6 months, 8 months, I basically reached out to my close network of friends. And I said, listen, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor. But what I'm reading is that a great kit to have in your cabinet would be some nitric oxide, some type of a tablet that dissolved in the body, as well as molecular hydrogen. Is there good science behind stacking molecular hydrogen and nitric oxide?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we tried to develop a new technology combining those two gases. The challenge is, I mean, you're trying to deliver a bioactive gas to the human body, right?
Yes.
So we were kind of famous for developing the first oral dose of a nitric oxide gas. Mm-hmm. The same thing with hydrogen. You dissolve it in water and then, you know, you take it. But we see really almost a synergistic effect between using the nitric oxide and the hydrogen when you're looking at exercise performance.
Mm-hmm. So back to this idea of nitric oxide being up there with air.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through, just for the people at home or if somebody who's listening to this, they're like, wow, this sounds like a lot or way over my head. It's definitely not my... It's not my osteobiflex from Rite Aid. It's not my multivitamin, my Flintstone vitamins. It's probably a new conversation for most people. What would be the mechanism of action in the body when I ingest nitric oxide in a tablet, like a dissolvable tablet in your mouth?
So nitric oxide's a gas, has a half-life of less than 1 second. Mm-hmm. So when it's produced naturally in the body, it activates a number of other second messengers. Mm-hmm. So it can modify the structure and function of proteins, and it leads to smooth muscle relaxation. So you're dilating blood vessels, you're normalizing blood pressure, and you're basically improving circulation and nutrient delivery to every cell in the body. But going back to the delivery of oxygen, since 2015, we've appreciated that the cardiorespiratory cycle is a three-gas system. Mm. So when we breathe in oxygen, we excrete CO2. That process only works if we have nitric oxide. So the cardiopulmonary system is oxygen, carbon dioxide, and nitric oxide. Mm-hmm. So obviously, if you're not breathing in oxygen, you know, as you mentioned, you can live very few minutes without breathing in oxygen. But if you don't have the nitric oxide to restore the functionality of that, you can breathe in the oxygen, but you can't saturate hemoglobin and you can't deliver that oxygen to the periphery. So what we see is kind of an acute effect is you see an improvement in circulation. In fact, we've done ultrasound of the carotid within 10 seconds of putting our lozenge in your mouth. We can see the blood vessels open up. Mm. So you may or may not feel that, but we can see it through ultrasound. And so, you know, better circulation, better blood flow, that's kind of the acute effects. Mm-hmm. The adaptive, the chronic effects is nitric oxide induces mitochondrial biogenesis. So we have more mitochondria generating more energy more efficiently with less oxygen. So you really become a well-oiled machine when you restore nitric oxide.
Becoming more efficient with less oxygen, is this something that would be valuable? I'm imagining this would be a great stack to take when you
you go to your Aspen ski vacation, or you are going to do a weekend warrior. Let's say you're going to hike Everest. Have people ever looked at this charting performance in this sports performance weekend warrior scenario?
Yes. In fact, that's the mechanism of the benefits of altitude training. Mm. So we discovered this, I think, back in 2007. We went to Tibet and we measured the people that live in at 12,000 feet above sea level. Obviously, these people don't get altitude sickness and certainly don't get pulmonary edema. So they've adapted. So the question was, how do these people who are living at 12,000 feet above sea level, the partial pressure of oxygen is much lower, so they're breathing in less oxygen per breath, but yet they're not hypoxic. They don't develop mountain sickness. But yet we go to Everest, you know, people die every day trying to ascend the summit. So what we found was that they've adapted to the low oxygen environment by increasing their nitric oxide production. Mm. In fact, they make about 100 times more nitric oxide than we do at sea level. And we also compared people in Ethiopia, which is about 6,000 feet above sea level. Yeah. They have intermediate levels. Uh-huh. So to answer your question, if you take, you know, like most athletes go to altitude for training. Mm-hmm. And for years it's thought, well, you're increasing erythropoietin and hematocrit, improving oxygen delivery of hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. That's only part of the story. So if you take people from in Houston and you send them to Mexico City or you send them up to Denver for training, within 3 days, they've amped up their nitric oxide production. And then if you go to higher, so there's a stepwise increment in the nitric oxide production. And these are well-trained athletes. The problem is if your body can't make nitric oxide and adapt to that, then you go to Aspen or you go to high altitude. We develop acute mountain sickness. Some people develop high altitude pulmonary edema. Mm. So their body's unable to adapt to that low oxygen environment because their body can't make nitric oxide.
Yeah.
So if we stack that and basically give nitric oxide through the lozenge, we acclimate for you. So if your body can't make nitric oxide, we do it for you.
It sounds like this would be a really good thing to develop, like an emergency kit to have people at these vacation destinations in high altitude just have to be able to pass out. I'm sure there's an elevation in, like you said, pulmonary respiratory conditions or emergency room visits in this setting.
We did that early, probably about 10 years ago when we first launched that product, because we realized that nitric oxide is critically important for low oxygen, mm-hmm. whether it's low oxygen due to a heart attack or stroke or environmental hypoxia due to altitude. But we had a lot of docs, ER docs, that kept them in the emergency room for, especially for pulmonary edema.
Yeah.
And so they would give it and it would basically correct the symptoms within, you know, seconds or minutes.
Wow. What about with this subset of the population? We've seen a lot of people reporting myocarditis incidence increasing. Mm-hmm. Like, would that be a great intervention in real time?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're finding is, we published on this, I think, in 2009, that nitric oxide prevents the vascular inflammation. Mm. So inflammation is when monocytes and neutrophils, our white blood cells, start sticking to the lining of the blood vessel. Platelets aggregate, you get, you know, microclots. We're seeing that especially post-COVID in these long-haul COVID patients. But nitric oxide prevents that inflammation, mm-hmm. especially with the spike protein that binds to the endothelial cells and causes that inflammation.
Yeah.
Nitric oxide completely resolves that inflammatory response.
Incredible. So let's just take that example. It's great. It's topical. It's immediate. Let's say somebody's struggling with long-haul COVID right now. They're just not recovering. Body's never established a baseline. If they were to add this into their protocol, how long would you expect a person to see measurable results? Well, I know it depends.
Yeah, of course, everybody's different. It's kind of not a one size fits all.
No.
But, you know, we see it almost immediately. So this nitric oxide dissolves in the mouth, then it diffuses, taken up in the oral cavity, and then it binds to glutathione, and we can extend the half-life of nitric oxide from seconds up to tens of minutes or hours. But the problem with long COVID is you have systemic disease. So long after the active infection, the upper respiratory infection, the spike protein binds and causes, you know, inflammation in the kidneys and the liver and the heart, the myocarditis. So you need nitric oxide to calm down that inflammation, to restore the endothelial function or the endothelial's ability to make nitric oxide, and then you suppress the inflammatory response. But what happens is, especially those who've got the mRNA vaccine, is now your body's programmed to make the spike protein for the rest of your life.
Interesting.
So now you have to really remediate that through taking nitric oxide. And really, it's the only way we found to mitigate the chronic inflammation and the long-haul COVID is through nitric oxide.
Interesting. You know, opening up that rabbit hole of the conversation around the pandemic, you know, I'm always so interested in when we can show up in these solutions that are like very accessible to a majority of the public. And it's, for me, nitric oxide, it's like, you can get it on Amazon. You know, it's really easy. how would you recommend somebody to go forward? Because at the end of the day, you don't want people willy-nilly just throwing a bunch of things in their Amazon cart and say, well, let's experiment on myself. Where would I go to get guidance, dosing, duration? How long should I be using this for?
Well, I think we have to address the question from two different angles. So number one, what we do in terms of nutrition and dietary supplements, obviously we can't make drug claims. And so we make a nitric oxide orally disintegrating tablet. And consumers are confused. You know, there's hundreds of nitric oxide products.
Yes, there are. And can we sidebar? My first NO experience with NO, there was this product called NO Explode, which I did in the gym in undergrad. And I would just shake. But it was this vasodilator for the gym and you would feel the pump in your body. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, get back to
that. the NO Explode story. Yeah, that company contacted me probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because the problem was it's all caffeine. They've got a lot of amino acids, a lot of things in there.
Yeah.
But that's a caffeine response. And I go, look, caffeine's a vasoconstrictor.
Yeah.
Nitric oxide's a vasodilator. So even if that product generated nitric oxide, the vasoconstrictive effects of caffeine would counteract it. So I told them, I go, just take the caffeine out. They go, we've tried that, but then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, well, you don't have NO Explode. You've got caffeine Explode.
Yes.
You've got a caffeinated product. You don't have a nitric oxide product. So now we test every product, and 99% of the products out there do not generate nitric oxide. It doesn't mean that they're not good products. They contain good ingredients that probably do other things, but they don't stimulate nitric oxide production.
Yeah.
So now in terms of that lozenge, we generate nitric oxide gas. So as that matrix is falling apart in your mouth, it's generating NO gas. We can detect it. We can quantify it. We can verify it. So that's on the nutritional side. But we also have a COVID drug that's in phase 3 clinical trials.
Okay.
So we realized early on, probably in June of 2020, we went to the FDA. We filed an IND, which is an investigational new drug application, because we were finding that the people who were getting sick and hospitalized and dying from COVID are the people that are the elderly, African-Americans, Hispanics with diabetes, smoking, obesity, and a previous heart attack.
So America. Right.
That's right.
The last four containers.
Yeah. But those are the patients who can't make nitric oxide. Those are all symptoms of nitric oxide deficiency.
Yeah.
So just as if you're deficient in vitamin D and you get exposed to COVID, you're not going to do well. If you can't make nitric oxide and you get exposed to COVID, you're not going to do well.
Yeah.
So now we thought, okay, we can develop an early treatment regimen where within 72 hours of exposure, onset of symptoms, we give your nitric oxide drug, we improve oxygen saturation, and we're keeping people out of the hospital. If you can keep people out of the hospital, you can usually keep them alive.
Yeah. So to be clear, the endeavor to file an investigation into a new drug, is that a totally different formulation or is it similar?
Well, it's similar. I use my same patents. So we have a drug company and we've licensed my patents from the University of Texas. So when I was on faculty at UT, we made a lot of discoveries, filed patents, and then the university owns those patents. We assign our rights to them and then we form companies and license that back.
Okay.
So the field of use for a dietary supplement is completely different than a field of use for license applications for the drug. It's different companies, same technology, but this is a drug application. The rigor and the capital expense to develop a drug is much different than to bring a dietary supplement to market.
Yeah, incredible. And the other thing that I'm, you know, this is audience from the Beautifully Broken podcast that, you know, we happen to be here at Biohacking Congress, but I'm very empathetic to is people struggling with long-term chronic illness. And, you know, a couple of times yesterday we had a panel, you know, I had a talk in the morning, you know, I talk about being on the loop of chronic symptoms for over a decade, really over 15 years. And what role do you think NO plays in somebody? It's really a lot of people in the audience with chronic Lyme, biotoxin illness, and mold toxicity.
Yeah.
And so that might present as a chronic inflammatory response syndrome. That could present as chronic fatigue. You know, the experience seems to be is it's such a hit or miss in that population because some people react great.
Yeah.
Some people react violently. Some people can't tolerate anything. And it really becomes this thing where everybody's sort of searching and trying to, you know, they're looking for the life raft of what worked for a lot of people. So where do you think NO would come into that population or come into the conversation around chronic condition and that chronic inflammatory response syndrome container?
Well, I think the science tells us with over 185,000 papers published on nitric oxide, the nitric oxide prevents the chronic inflammatory response. We need acute inflammation to fight off infections and to heal wounds and things like that. The problem is when you get chronic inflammation. And so nitric oxide is critically important. But as I mentioned in my talk, chronic disease is caused by two things and two things only. whether it's Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart disease, your body's missing something that it needs, or it's exposed to something it doesn't need.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you replete missing nutrients and you remove yourself from the source of exposure of a toxin, whether it's mold, whether it's Lyme's or viral infections or bacterial infection, then the body heals itself.
Yeah.
So we have to remediate all of those at the same time. So part of our immune system, part of the role of the immune system is to generate nitric oxide. So when we're exposed, let's use COVID, for example, when we're exposed to COVID, coronavirus, it attaches to our airway epithelium and it tells our body, I've got an invasion. So we mobilize an immune response, we go to the site of infection, and we generate a lot of nitric oxide gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then that prevents the virus from replicating.
Yeah.
And it binds to the iron sulfur centers of bacteria if you've got a bacterial infection, and it shuts down bacterial respiration. But if you can't make nitric oxide, you can't mobilize an immune response.
Mm.
You don't generate nitric oxide. The virus replicates, propagates, you get systemic disease. It's the same thing with Lyme or mold, mycotoxins. You know, once you're exposed to the toxins, you have to rid your body of that.
Yes.
So until you remove yourself from the source of exposure, you're never going to really help the person or help the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So nitric oxide is part of the story. But again, until you remove yourself from the source of exposure, kill the virus, kill the bacteria, get rid of the toxins, then the body's unable to heal.
Yeah.
But what's clear from the literature is nitric oxide improves circulation, improves the immune response, and prevents the inflammatory response from chronic exposure.
Yeah, there's a gentleman I follow in Texas, Dr. Jerry Tennant, who's, I'm a frequency and energetics guy at heart. It's been very helpful for me. So I'm passionate about learning more from these absolute greats that have come before. And the person that connected me with your version of nitric oxide, he said that that is on his top list of absolute do not pass go, must have in your paradigm, nitric oxide, for the body's ability to hold charge and voltage and work with some of these subtle energetic technologies like amp coil, like the attenuator, like pulse electromagnetic field generation. So again, why would it be so helpful with the technology in that nature?
Well, nitric oxide is a free radical. So it has an unpaired electron in its outer orbital. So when we, as a biochemist, we count electrons, right?
And it's all about
the flow of electrons, which affects the potential hydrogen, potential, the voltage of the cell on the energetics. Because most free radicals will scavenge electrons. Nitric oxide is an electron donor.
Mm-hmm.
So any electron donating species is antioxidant, anti-inflammatory in nature, and affects the voltage of the cell. So we're donating electrons.
Yes.
So it's critically important in that. And the other thing is, you know, in nerve conductance, you need blood supply to those nerves to generate that electric potential that we're trying to restore. So in neuropathy, for example, those nerves have small vessel disease, so there's no perfusion of those nerves, and you can't generate an action potential and you get neuropathy. Yeah. So for me, everything is about blood flow, because whether it's Alzheimer's and vascular dementia or heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it's all about reduced blood flow.
Mm.
So until you restore blood flow and perfusion, get oxygen nutrients into the cells, get the waste material out, nothing else is going to work.
Yeah.
And that's the role of nitric oxide.
Red light therapy has been clinically shown to help increase energy, circulation, increase testosterone production, workout recovery, hair growth, improve the depth of fine lines and wrinkles. I love red light therapy. It works. You stand in front of a panel, naked, you turn it on, you repeat, you reap the benefits. I think the only challenge for the customer with so many lights on the market is how do I choose the right light for my body? I use LightPath LED for the following reasons. They include a 3-year warranty. They have panel options with pre-programmed frequencies or different pulse rates to add the benefit of pulse light to the body. Even Andrew Huberman, the famous neuroscientist from Stanford University, is celebrating the breakthroughs happening around 40 hertz. Well, this panel goes from 1 to 9,999. Finally, they go deep. LightPath LED is 60% near infrared, so that spectrum is the range that penetrates deeper into the tissues of the body. And finally, I have to mention after purchase support. When you have a light and you purchase technology, you want to know how to best use it. And there is a 7,000 member group dedicated to helping you do that at LightPath LED. All of my mentors speak of mitochondrial dysfunction as the root cause of chronic illness, and red light is safe. It's effective, and it's an easy way to support full body wellness from home. So check out LightPath LED and use the code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN for a hefty discount in the checkout. Also, If you're interested in joining the LightPath LED team, join their affiliate program and get benefits from sharing a product that you absolutely love. Team LightPath, I'm out.
Can you speak to, because I know it's in, I heard you mention it yesterday, the idea that a cell needs a certain voltage or charge to be able to heal. And there's a range in which a healthy cell exists. I'd love, from a medical professional, I'd love to hear your explainer on that.
So the normal potential, the membrane potential, the voltage inside versus outside of the cell is about minus 25 millivolts.
Minus 25 millivolts. And millivolts can be converted to pH.
That's right. That's the Nernst equation. Right?
Okay. So potential hydrogen to millivolts.
That's right.
Yes.
So negative 25 millivolts is pH 7.4.
Great.
So if you have an injury, so if you smash your finger, you've got to make new cells and replace those damaged cells.
Yes.
So in order to do that, the signal is you have to reach a membrane potential of minus 50 millivolts. But if your body can't generate enough energy because you're sick or your mitochondria don't work or you have hypothyroidism, then you can't initiate that healing response. Mm-hmm. So if your body can't do it, then you have to use energetics, whether it's the ant coil or use any other thing that puts voltage into the cell. Then you can restore that membrane potential. And once you generate new cells, then it goes back to minus 25 millivolts.
Yeah.
And then cancer cells, for example, is when you flip polarity.
You flip polarity and it so cancer cells. Can you explain that to me? So if I'm just somebody listening to this, what do you mean if I go from a cell that has a healthy millivoltage, like negative 25 millivolts? What does it mean when a cell flips polarity? My understanding has always been that on the outside of the cell, there's a net positive, inside is a net negative.
Correct.
So it's that differential, which is allowing sodium potassium ions to flow in and out of the cell. And that is a healthy functionality when that gradient exists.
Well, it's like a battery. If you take a rechargeable battery and you basically deplete it of all of its charge, then the negative becomes positive, the positive becomes negative. It switches polarity. Mm-hmm. And then you're unable to recharge that rechargeable battery.
Yes.
So that's how the human body works. In fact, cancer goes back to the Warburg effect.
Yes.
Right? Cancer only grows in a low oxygen, low pH environment. And so that pH, the potential hydrogen, it then becomes less than 7. So now at pH 7 means you have a there's no charge, right? It's zero.
Yep.
Anything that's acidic, it's positive. Mm-hmm. And so cancer only grows in an acidic, low oxygen environment. Mm-hmm. The other interesting thing is that the lower the pH, the less dissolved oxygen you can have. Mm-hmm. So the higher the pH, the more the dissolved oxygen you can have in water or even inside a cell. Mm-hmm. So in cancer, what you have to do is figure out what's causing the drainage of that voltage in that particular cell type or that particular organ. And then you've got to switch that polarity and then start charging that particular meridian. Mm-hmm. And then you create an environment that's fully oxygenated, normal pH. In that environment, cancer cells can't grow. So cancer cells are very restrictive in the environment which they can grow. It's low oxygen, low pH. Yeah. They don't like oxygen.
And so is it out of the realm of possibility to say when the cell flips polarity, so you're saying it kind of reverses, so then there'd be a net negative on the outside, net positive on the inside.
That's right.
Is that why a cell... literally, it's like pushing two positives of a battery together. The opposite effect would be the cells would clump and they would actually form a tumor and then start to build a neural network to have blood supply.
That's right. That's right. They control their own blood supply. Yeah. But if you hit them with oxygen, then obviously...
Right. We've just solved the cure for cancer on the Beautifully Broken podcast. All joking aside, you know, what we're talking is a theoretical idea. We're looking at the voltage or network of current in the body, which does have an effect on disease. Now, knowing all that, it would seem we're like, great, well, we understand how to cure all disease, right? We need to just fix the voltage, oxygenate the tissue, be super hydrated and have enough abundant minerals so the body can function like a battery. But it's not that way. I mean, I think I'm making an assumption, again, not a medical doctor, but you would think if we knew all that, we could just create a cure. Now, why does that not always work like it does on paper?
I think we're going against
Tell me the secrets of the universe.
Very powerful forces. But, you know, chronic disease occurs when we lose the ability to repair and regenerate cells that work properly.
Yes.
So when you put that, so then you got to ask yourself, what do you need to make a new cell that works properly? Mm-hmm. Well, you need raw materials. You need proteins, fats, carbs, amino acids, and you got to have voltage.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have any one of those, then the body can't replace and regenerate cells. That's how our own stem cells work, right? So if we have a chronic condition, or if we have, you know, an injury, we go and we mobilize our stem cells. They go to the site of injury and they make new cells that work properly. Nitric oxide is the signal that tells our stem cells to go and mobilize and differentiate. Mm. We can't make nitric oxide if we don't get the signal. But two, if we don't have the voltage and the raw material necessary to repair that, then it doesn't do it. And so aging and chronic disease is really the result of our inability to repair and replenish dysfunctional tissue.
Yeah.
So in medicine, nobody ever considers the electrical activity of the human unless they're diagnosing you or pronouncing you dead, because what's dead?
Yeah.
It's loss of EEG activity or loss of EKG activity.
Yeah.
It's the electrical being that when you cannot produce that charge, we die. But nobody ever considers that in terms of remediating disease. Yeah. We need the voltage. We need good nutrition. But more importantly, we have to get rid of the things in our body that are preventing our body from healing.
Yeah.
And whether those are infections or toxins, we have to consider all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the theory can be put into practice. I've seen it personally. Mm-hmm. When you consider that, the problem with Western medicine is most doctors don't think that way, right? They want to make a diagnosis, prescribe you a medicine that really has nothing to do with the underlying etiology of disease.
Yeah, it's really, it's quieting the whisper, the divine whisper, I like to call it, the body is offering for you to make a change in your behavior. It's always been that my experience that 99% of healing is the self-care. It's what do you do in the other 24 hours in the day when you're not sitting there with a practitioner giving you a little information? Are you integrating? Are you embodying that lifestyle, whether it's an a mental, emotional, behavioral technique, whether it's a new dietary platform, it's movement and exercise, it's breath work, it's cold exposure. It's the integration. So you are the walking, breathing example of this.
Yeah, that's right.
And to me, I keep asking myself, I've said this on many podcasts. I know people are tired of it, but it's like, what's healing? I'm asking myself because I'm trying to figure it out. You know, there was a time when I remember I was like, oh, if I just had, you know, $20,000, I could go buy these technologies and stem cell procedures and a hyperbaric and I would just be well. That was my belief system because I just thought things were out of reach that were allowing me healing.
Right.
But as I've learned and tried all these things and used them, I understand, yes, there are some things that move the needle, but it's the, I'm choosing to bathe my neurotransmitters and cells in either cortisol or like beneficial hormones.
Right.
And that's my choice about how I react to outside world. You know, so the what is healing is like a thing that just keeps involved. I'd love to hear what do you think healing is?
Well, I think it's incorporating all those things. But the reason Americans are sick is nobody's willing to put in the work. It's hard work staying healthy and doing what we do.
People look at my lifestyle, they're like, that looks exhausting.
Yeah, but I think there's no greater investment we can make, whether it's our time or our investments in our own health.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the problem. Most people are reactive. They don't take corrective actions until they're sick or until they get chronic disease. We think differently. We don't want to be there. So we make investments and we do things that one of my favorite quotes is do today what other people want so you can do tomorrow what other people can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. And if people wait until they have time to do that, then it never happens.
Yeah.
We put priority in doing it and making time to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the trick is it's easier to prevent disease than it is to treat disease. But you have to put in the work and you have to understand how the body works and then take corrective action. So to me, there's no reason why cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer of men and women worldwide. We know what causes it. It's lack of nitric oxide. We know how to diagnose it and we know how to correct it.
Yeah.
And same thing with cancer. We understand cancer biology going back to the 40s in Warburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yet people are still dying from cancer every day. So it's not that we don't have the information. It's the application of the information.
Yeah.
Through Western medicine, which is very resistant to kind of how we think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obvious that the current medical system will implode upon itself because we spend more money per capita, but we have the sickest people on earth.
Yeah.
So that's not working.
Yeah. I see that. I feel that. But I also feel like there's a general like awareness that people are disenchanted. I mean, a great example, just to like call out the FDA a little bit, is like the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's a regulatory body that sat like, is it gross negligence? You know, how do you look the other way on the opioid crisis unfolding and look at the number of people who lost their lives when we could have just done a simple genetic test to say, you know what, you're going to be reacting to this just like heroin. We already know this from your genetic pathways, how you're going to absorb the drug. That was information that was known. And simply, yeah, whatever you want to think, I think people are aware of this. They've watched not only family members pass away, they've watched people become lifelong invalids, and people are more and more wondering, like, what can I do? And I personally don't think we could talk about the way we're going to fix medicine, but we can also today claim radical ownership of your health, and we could do so much. Like, it could be incredible. Like, I see the possibility of people at home. I'm just going to start making different behavioral choices in my lifestyle, and this will be a radically different experience, you know, the next 20, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. Well, I think there's enormous pressure. There's a lot of economic pressure because big drug companies make a lot of money by selling drugs, right? And then they have, I think, an undue influence on the FDA.
Sure.
Humans, I think most people have good intentions. Most doctors have good intentions in trying to make their patients better. Problem is the system's broken.
Yes.
They don't allow docs to think outside the box and to really understand the root cause of disease. I think there's a migration for a lot of good docs, integrative docs, going outside the standard of care and really making their patients better.
Yeah.
But until we get the undue influence from big pharma on the FDA and allowing really the body to heal itself, because when you're on drugs, your body can't heal.
Right.
We're not designed to be exposed to synthetic drugs that are inhibitors of certain reactions, biochemical reactions. That's why there's always side effects.
Yeah.
So I think the best approach is to start weaning people off drugs so that the body can heal itself. But that model is very disruptive to pharma, right? This is an economic model, and the number one rule of business is don't lose a customer.
Yeah.
Right? So when we're getting people off drug therapy, that's disruptive to that model. But I think we can't allow that to disrupt our efforts, because our efforts are to understand the mechanism of disease to the extent that we can heal it.
Yeah.
That's giving the body what it needs, removing what the body doesn't need.
Removing the trigger.
And then let the body heal itself.
Yeah.
That's how we're designed.
Yeah. I'm totally on board. Like you said, there's so many products online. Maybe pause before you go right to Amazon for your nitric oxide purchase right now. Because, you know, it's always like the thing is like, how can I get it now? Where would you tell people to look? Obviously, you said your product is one of the top level elites. Yeah. So if you could speak a little bit about the product you're working with, the nitric oxide supplement that would deliver the right amount of gas to the body.
Yeah, so I spent, I guess, 20, 25 years in academia. I've made a lot of discoveries. We have a number of products on the market. Mm-hmm. My second generation lozenge is NO2U. It's NO2U.com.
NO2U.
Yeah.
Not it's Y-O-U. That under...
NO, nitric oxide, the number two, the letter U.
NO2U. Okay.
So that's our second generation lozenge. Again, it's an orally disintegrating tablet, dissolves in the mouth, generates nitric oxide systemically. But my objective is not to sell product or promote product. My objective is to give people the information and education so they can make educated decisions, informed decisions. So I tell most people just go to my educational website. It's drnathansbryan.com. Mm-hmm. I do a monthly blog. We have information on there to really... To summarize what we just discussed, what do you do to improve nitric oxide? What are you doing that may be inhibiting it? And then just make those simple lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's always our first approach. But when that doesn't work, or you don't want to do that, then we have a solution that does it for you.
Is there a reliable test to look at my innate nitric oxide production that I could gauge so I could decide if I need to supplement with this?
There is. So I created a nitric oxide saliva test about 12 years ago, because at that time, even today, it's not like your cholesterol or vitamin D where we can just pull blood and tell you what your numbers are. Nitric oxide's a gas, gone in less than a second. So there's no real lab measurements of nitric oxide. So what we developed is a salivary test strip. You can apply your saliva to the end of this test strip. It turns dark pink, and that tells us your body's able to recycle the nitric oxide that your body's making.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're low, then obviously it tells us your body can't make nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start employing different strategies. Are you low because you have endothelial dysfunction? Is it low because you're not eating enough green leafy vegetables? Is it low because you're using mouthwash that's killing the good bacteria in the microbiome that's responsible for nitric oxide generation? So those are questions that you have to then begin to ask before we can take corrective action to fix the underlying problem. So I tell people it's a good tool to have in your toolbox, but it shouldn't be the only tool you're using.
Yeah.
We look at symptoms. If you have high blood pressure, you can't make nitric oxide. If you have erectile dysfunction, your body can't make nitric oxide. If you have low oxygen saturation, your body's not making nitric oxide. If you have diabetes, nitric oxide is required for insulin signaling. You can't make nitric oxide.
Mm.
So we rely on the symptomology, but also kind of the biochemical tests.
Yeah. And is this something through the adjustment and lifestyle behaviors you can entrain your body to start making and improving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we understand what goes wrong in the enzyme that can't make nitric oxide. We can recouple it. We can refix it. It's moderate physical exercise. It's an antioxidant diet. You know, light therapy is good when we're exposed to sunlight. We produce nitric oxide. I like the infrared sauna. You know, I mean, just so I tell people, stop doing the things that disrupt nitric oxide production start doing the things that are clinically proven to improve it. So what does that mean? You have to stop using mouthwash.
Yeah.
We and others have published, if you use mouthwash, it kills the nitrite reducing or nitric oxide producing bacteria, your blood pressure goes up. If you use mouthwash, you lose the benefits of exercise.
Yeah.
Get rid of fluoride in your toothpaste. Fluoride's an antiseptic, kills the bacteria. It's a neurotoxin that kills your thyroid. If you're on antacids, you have to get off antacids. We need stomach acid to make nitric oxide. We need stomach acid for the body to heal. So once you do that, those are very simple steps that then your body is able to produce nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go one step further, move. Moderate physical exercise, as little as 20 minutes a day is good. Throw in some more green leafy vegetables or take a nitric oxide supplement. And then get out in the sunlight, 20, 30 minutes a day or infrared light.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I know how much people take on and how much I take on my plate. I know all those things and I do a really good job integrating them into my life. But there are times when I'll go stretches of it's just like, it's a day on the computer answering emails and phone calls. It's not that I can't take those phone calls outside and be barefoot in the grass and go do some breath work, but it's just sometimes you get caught up in it all and you do forget. You're like, how did I fall off? So it's a great reminder. Every time I hear stuff like this, I'm like, man, I got work to do, which is exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I have an opportunity to heal on a deeper level. How great. You know, I'm not failing. Again, this has come up so many times for me, how important nitric oxide is. I've had really great benefits with it. I've given it to my, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll end the show on a fun one. A couple people that I've sent nitric oxide to, I'm like, you should try this. The report the next day was, wow, took one of these and then I had sex. It was absolutely incredible. Is it possible that one lozenge did that?
Yeah. Well, it's all about blood flow. If you can't make nitric oxide to dilate the blood vessels of the sex organs in both male and female, you don't get engorgement and you develop erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
So now if we give nitric oxide, we can potentiate that effect. We can get more blood flow, better engorgement, and better function. So it's not just sexual function, it's cognitive function, it's athletic performance.
Yeah.
So it makes everything work better.
Yeah. Beautiful. You've been such a treat to interview. I want to do another one.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beautifully Broken Podcast. We're here at the Biohacking Congress in Boston. This is an event where you can show up, you can be with other human beings, you can learn in the real time in these beautiful lectures that we've heard over 30 different speakers. There's over 20 different wellness technologies here. You're going to be looking to Miami or you're going to be looking to Austin in February. So you've got opportunities to get on events like this and really like take this knowledge in on a deeper level because it's in community. So check it out. And thank you for listening to this. This is I'm so excited to release this episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Freddie.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging with me. What a great interview. I wanted to remind our listeners there is a special code, Beautifully Broken. It's not case sensitive. That is going to work on any of the products Dr. Nathan mentioned, whether it's N101.com or N20U, the letter U.com, for skincare or their supplement line, Optimizing NO in the Body. I hope this very direct and brief and exciting and action-packed podcast inspired you to go out there and be your own N equals one. No pun intended. Have a beautiful day. Team, thank you for creating a wave of momentum that is driving season 5 of the Beautifully Broken Podcast. My heart thanks you for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, head over to Apple Podcasts and now Spotify. Spotify is new and you can leave a review. 5 stars if you loved it. And before you go, I have something really important I need to offer. There are 2 ways we can build this relationship. The first is to join my membership program at buymeacoffee.com/FreddieSetGo. You get early access to all the podcasts, bonus episodes, discounted consults, and free webinars covering all the wellness technologies. The second is to support beautifullybroken.world. That's right, I have a brand new website and new store, beautifullybroken.world. Listed on here are all the wellness tools, supplements, educational courses, and products that I absolutely love. Most of them offer significant discounts by clicking the link or using the code. Please know that they don't cost you anything extra. And at the same time, they do support the podcast through affiliations. What's that? I just got a message from my lawyers, my internet team of lawyers. They wanted me to tell you that the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. By listening, you agree not to use the information found here as medical advice. Do you agree? Yes, you agree. To treat any medical condition in yourself or others, always consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. Finally, our closing. The world is changing. We need you at your very best. So always take the steps to be upgrading your energy, your mindset, and your heart. Remember, while life is pain, putting the fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel.